Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Today I want to spend some time talking about repentance, because repentance is something that is oftentimes is called for over and over and over in the scriptures, but it is something that is not clearly defined, and the way it's oftentimes explained in churches may not actually be as accurate as you might mean. I've heard repentance in churches oftentimes say that it means to turn around, like you're running down the interstate. There's an interstate back behind this amazing rock wall over here. It's about a mile or so that way. And if you're driving down the interstate, repentance, the churches say, is to get off the exit and get back on the other way. Well, the problem is that's not what the word repentance means. It's not a turning around necessarily. And the reason we say that is because we as people are not purely evil. More on that in a minute. But the reality is we have to repent, meaning to readjust our thinking and life to align itself with God. So it's not turning around. It's not doing a U-turn. It's not getting off on one exit on the interstate and then getting back on, going the opposite direction. It is more like a compass. See, the Greek word here is metanoia. And metanoia means to undergo a change in the frame of mind or in feeling, the change in principle or a reform. A reform is an interesting word. Of course, we have the Reformation. Of course, the Reformation back with Calvin, etc., and several other reformers, Calvin and Luther, and you know, there's so many other ones out there. You have all of those people. The Reformation was about going back to the foundation of what the faith was and rebuilding on that old foundation. We in our modern age are looking towards revolutions, reinventing, changing, adjusting, and those are radically different. Reinvention is what led to the heresy of the emergent church. If you remember Brian McLaren and Rob Bell, probably not if you weren't studying theology 20 years ago, but these guys were huge popular guys talking about the need to reinvent the church, reimagine the church. And they wanted to do all sorts of weird things, as commonly referred to as the postmodern church. Of course, postmodernism is this American philosophy that if there is an absolute truth, we can't know it. And so the emergent church took a strong stance against the doctrine of absolute truth. Of course, it usually came out in a form of rejecting a lot of your means of how you worship church and things like that. And so that really is a reformation a reimagining or even a revolution, whereas a reformation goes back to the source. And so I wanted to talk about repentance. Is a better analogy is a compass. You see, a compass always points north, but we might be walking in this direction or this direction or this direction. And the reality is, if we want to know our way, we have to walk in the correct direction relative to an absolute. A compass is a much better definition of repentance because it always points true north. Unless, of course, it's been corrupted by some other weird magnetic forces. Maybe you'd call that false doctrine or something. But the truth of God himself is never corrupted. He is the true north that always points in that direction. We have to realign, and that's what repentance means. A reformation is a realigning. A changing of our frame of mind is a realigning. Going back to a realignment back with the source, that is a much, much better means of examining what is repentance. And I wanted to look at this verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. I rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, that you may not suffer any loss on anything through us. So this is actually that person Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, this man who is sleeping with his, you know, was it father's wife or something? I forget. It was a scandalous situation, even for the Corinthian church, as crazy as they were, it was scandalous even to them. And Paul's like, yeah, you can't have fellowship with a so-called believer that is doing all of these really bad things. You can't do that. And so, of course, the problem is the people in the Corinthian church, they thought it was just cast them out forever. But Paul was meant to say to them, no, the entire purpose is to cast them out so he recognizes his sin and repents. This is the purpose. Repentance is to rethink his life on that particular matter. And I have a couple other verses here which kind of points to the same principle that repentance is not a change in direction, it is a realignment. And this is an interesting verse here, which can be difficult to think about, but from Luke 15, verse 7. I tell you the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So those 99 that did not need repentance because they were walking in the correct direction. Now, this does not mean, this is the difficult part, this does not mean that they were already saved. It doesn't mean there's people walking around who are righteous enough to not need Christ to go to heaven. No, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the point Christ is making here is that the gospel goes out for the people who are astray. And the 99 that remained on the hill were not astray. But the one that strayed away is, he needs repented, realignment right back in. Back to that compass, not a U-turn. So think about that. And of course, the ultimate principle is to learn the ultimate truth about who God is the means to make it into the realignment itself. You got to start with the foundation of knowing who God is. Without knowing who he is, there is no realignment. In Luke chapter 5, verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repent. Now, as I'd said earlier, there are a lot of verses about repentance, and there are tons and tons. And so I want to have a look at some of those. Only one more from Luke. Luke seems to have a lot to say about repentance. John says nothing about repentance. It's kind of funny. Luke chapter 24, verses 45 to 47, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. This is where we got to get back into the scriptures to understand repentance. He said to them, thus it is written that that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. So the cause of Christ was to cause the repentance. I'm working on my Ephesians study notes right now, and one of the points in there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 talks about the richness of his grace. And sometimes we are, in best practice, we do not even recognize our ability to obtain such a great a salvation that he gives us, which is for the regeneration. Was that justification, regeneration? I forget. We'll get to it when we actually get to the study. It's all in my notes. Now, there's only one Old Testament reference to repentance, which I thought was interesting. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In the quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing. So you're trying to work for your salvation. In repentance, that is realignment with God, and rest. What did Christ say? Come unto me, all who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Very interesting from Isaiah. In Matthew chapter 3, we have John talking about what does it mean to really do this. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. What does this mean? But it shows that repentance is a visible sign. This is why the idea that you simply say a prayer and you never change your life is utter nonsense. No. Repentance bears with it fruit, because all of us have sinned. Now, nobody is so evil that absolutely everything that they do needs repented of. There are, and this is part of the element of God. In fact, I think back to this all the time. Knowing now, 25 years after being saved, knowing now And looking back into the days I was an absolute reprobate person, and I swore like the dickens, and I was like, I was not the person you'd want as your kid's friend. I was a really bad influence. I was a jerk. There were so many elements, but there were elements of my life that I look back now and go, I wonder if that was a marker that I was really saved, because I wouldn't do, like, I wouldn't ever attack somebody. I wouldn't, I'm just trying to think back to the different things. 100% never drugs. That's just stupid. And then, of course, sometimes I was, you know, sinful in my condemnation of such things. If it were such possible, yes, it is. I got great stories now. But you see, the even as wicked and evil as I was prior to knowing Christ, I still had elements of my life that aligned with God, because we are created in God's image. The saved and the reprobate alike are created in God's image. And because of that, there are elements we have of God that we see and recognize, and we have to think about these things. And when we are saved, getting back around to this verse, there will definitely be signs of repentance. And the last verse I had is from Acts chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also repentance that leads to life. A realignment, a recognition that God is God. Jesus Christ is the only way. And the study of the scriptures to understand the mind of God and prayer to understand the heart of God are the ways to recognize who God is. That is the thing that allows us to realign ourselves with God. Because realigning ourselves with God, that repentance, that personal daily repentance, is a key element to sanctification. Those are two areas that we in our fallen humanness do have a role in salvation. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am a 5-point Calvinist. The problem is too many people do not know what that means. They think that just means fatalism. That just means that God creates evil. That just means God sends people to hell. No, none of that is true. Salvation itself is a process. The vast majority of that process is handled exclusively by God and the Holy Spirit. But there are a few key elements that we have. Sanctification is a huge element that we carry forth in our walk with God. Repentance is required for that salvation. Repentance is that thing that forces us to realign with God, to recognize the direction, and sanctification is the manifestation of repentance. It is an alignment, not a change in direction. So keep that in mind as you are caring about your life in our Lord. So thanks for watching. Have a look at the website, ourwalkinchrist.com. Thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.